Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into The Little Book of Lykke by Meek Wiking, a captivating exploration of happiness distilled into bite-sized wisdom. Published in 2017, this book is a guide to uncovering the secrets of living a more fulfilling life, inspired by the Scandinavian model, particularly Danish society's approach to everyday happiness. Meek Wiking, who stands at the helm of the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen, extends his expertise in global happiness trends to readers worldwide. Following the success of his first international bestseller, The Little Book of Hygge, which has been embraced in over 30 countries, Wiking returns with another gem. The Little Book of Lykke is not just a book, it's an invitation to transform your life by integrating simple yet profound happiness practices, regardless of geographical boundaries. This episode is perfect for anyone looking to infuse more joy into their lives, travelers intrigued by the nuances of Scandinavian culture, and those fascinated by the science of happiness. Join us as we explore the essential ingredients for a happier life, as revealed by Meek Wiking in The Little Book of Lykke. The Little Book of Lykke, The Danish Search for the World's Happiest People. Introduction. Unlock the happiness secrets of Scandinavia. Ever dream of injecting a bit more joy into your life? Look no farther than the Danish shores, a land renowned for its jubilant populace and the enviable title of one of the happiest countries globally. Meek Wiking, in his enlightening exploration, uncovers the myriad elements that contribute to the high spirits of Denmark. He navigates through various societal aspects such as transportation, education, and community engagement, delving deep with a solid backing of data and research to understand the essence of Danish contentment. Before you pack your bags and embark on a quest for happiness in Denmark, consider this. Perhaps the key to a more fulfilling life lies not in relocation, but in understanding and adopting the principles that make Danes so content. This narrative promises to be an illuminating guide to enhancing satisfaction right where you are. In this enlightening journey, you'll discover the joy revolution behind Copenhagen's extensive bike lanes and how it uplifts the city's mood, the heartwarming strategy that bridges the gap between seniors and new parents, boosting happiness for both, and the intriguing reason why the mere existence of a first-class section in airplanes can stir up feelings of resentment and air rage. Dive into these insights, and you might just find the blueprint for a happier life, inspired by the Danish model, without leaving the comfort of your home. Part 1. Building a happier life through community and disconnecting from the digital world. It's a recurring revelation that Denmark frequently emerges as one of the most joyful nations across the globe. But what fuels this exceptional happiness among Danes? A pivotal aspect highlighted in the United Nations World Happiness Report suggests that a strong sense of community and a collective commitment to the common good play significant roles in nurturing contentment within the nation. Remarkably, a 2014 Gallup poll illuminated that a vast majority, 9 out of 10 Danes, don't begrudge the high taxes, which can soar up to 45% for the average income earner, and even reach 52% for those with annual earnings exceeding €61,500. This widespread acceptance of hefty taxes stems from a shared belief in their contributions towards societal welfare, ensuring everyone receives support during sickness or job loss. Denmark's pioneering initiative, Bofællesskaber, or Living Communities, stands as a testament to their commitment to communal harmony. Spawned from the inspiring vision of Bodil Grey's editorial, Children Should Have 100 Parents, this concept has flourished into a network of co-housing communities. Sæterdammen was the first of these communities, setting the stage for a movement that now includes around 50,000 Danes. These co-housing arrangements advocate for shared responsibilities and mutual support, enhancing the quality of life for their residents. Yet, the pursuit of happiness in Denmark doesn't halt at fostering community spirit. It also involves a conscious retreat from the virtual domain. The Happiness Research Institute's intriguing 2015 experiment showcased a notable increase in life satisfaction and a reduction in loneliness among individuals who abstained from using Facebook for a week. This finding underlines the virtue of disconnecting from social media to rejuvenate our mental well-being. Tackling the challenge of reducing screen time might seem daunting, yet it becomes manageable with collective effort. Encouraging friends and family to engage in tech-free intervals during certain parts of the day or specific days of the week nurtures an environment where everyone benefits from authentic, face-to-face interactions, further enriching the communal fabric and elevating happiness levels. Thus, drawing from Danish experiences, it becomes evident that fostering tight-knit communities and periodically detaching from the digital world are keys to cultivating a more fulfilling and joyful life. Part 2: Finding Joy in the Journey. Why anticipation outshines wealth in boosting happiness. It's a common assumption that a fatter wallet equates to a fuller heart. More money, more happiness, right? Interestingly, though affluent nations generally notch up higher ranks in happiness indices, the correlation between wealth and happiness isn't as straightforward as one might think. Consider South Korea's paradox. Within a mere two generations, it has metamorphosed from a country grappling with poverty to an economic juggernaut. Yet, despite its impressive economic strides, it bears the melancholy distinction of the highest per capita suicide rate and languishes at 55th on the World Happiness Report. This conundrum nudges us towards a pivotal realization. It's the richness of our experiences and the gleeful anticipation of them that truly enriches our well-being. In illuminating research by Elizabeth Dunn and Michael Norton, it emerged that a majority, 57%, felt a dual source of happiness, stemming from both the acquisition of a desired item and the sweet anticipation preceding its purchase. In stark contrast, only 34% attributed their happiness solely to the product itself. Leveraging this insight can significantly elevate your joy quota. Imagine integrating your purchases with forthcoming milestones or occasions. Let's say you're eyeing a sleek new recliner. Instead of an impulsive buy, why not make it a cherry on top for accomplishing a major task? Such a strategy not only amplifies the pleasure derived from the purchase, but also embeds a layer of gratifying achievement into that comfy recliner every time you sink into it. Moreover, embracing the art of anticipation, planning pleasurable activities ahead of time rather than indulging in spontaneity, can markedly enhance your happiness. This approach fosters a savory period of looking forward to enjoyable experiences, effectively multiplying the joy they bring. However, on the quest for happiness, it's imperative to sidestep certain pitfalls, such as the detrimental habit of comparing your wealth with others. In an observation by the 19th century sociologist Thorstein Veblen, he dissected the phenomenon of conspicuous consumption. The propensity to splash cash ostentatiously to project success and affluence. This relentless showcase of wealth spirals into a never-ending contest, where the real casualty ends up being happiness, leaving participants both financially and emotionally depleted. To navigate a path toward genuine happiness, it's advisable to steer clear of wealth comparisons. Instead, savor the pleasures of anticipation and enrich your life with joyous experiences that currency can't buy. Part 3: The Dual Path to Happiness, Nurturing Both Body and Mind. In our constant pursuit of happiness, we often overlook the simplest yet most effective strategies: maintaining physical and mental well-being. It's not just about looking good, it's about feeling good too, and how this contributes to a deeper sense of joy. An interesting facet of Denmark's cheerful disposition lies in its culture of physical activity. A staggering statistic from a 2017 University of Glasgow study reveals that biking to work can slash the risk of premature death by an astonishing 41%. This finding aligns with the lifestyle in Copenhagen, where a whopping 63% commute by bike, exemplifying how incorporating exercise into daily routines can have profound health and happiness benefits. This cycling culture not only uplifts individual well-being, but also accrues savings for the city through decreased traffic congestion, lowered air pollution, and reduced infrastructure wear and tear. However, joyous journeys aren't limited to those on two wheels. Research from Montreal's McGill University showcases that walking holds the crown for delivering the most satisfaction among various modes of transport, overshadowing even biking and significantly outpacing the bus. Thus, the road to happiness, quite literally, begins with one step, or pedal, at a time. Equally critical to our joy quotient is the state of our mental health. Japan's practice of shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing, is a testament to the therapeutic power of immersing oneself in the serene beauty of nature. This delightful communion with the forest not only rejuvenates the spirit, but has also been scientifically shown to bolster psychological and physiological states. Yet, the journey towards mental wellness isn't devoid of obstacles, particularly cultural stigmas surrounding mental health care. South Korea illustrates this challenge starkly, with low depression treatment rates and high suicide statistics, underscoring the dire consequences of neglecting mental health support. Encouragingly, the tides are changing, spearheaded by influential figures advocating for mental health awareness. Prince Harry of Britain's royal family emerges as a beacon of hope in this regard, sharing his personal battles and stressing the importance of seeking assistance during tough times without feeling encumbered by shame. Thus, a holistic approach to happiness encompasses both physical activity and mental self-care. By biking or walking our way to better health and embracing openness around mental health issues, we pave our path to a more contented life, a lesson beautifully embodied in the lifestyles and initiatives across the globe. Part 4, The Key to a Happier Life. Embrace the luxury of leisure. Freedom often conjures images of pursuing dreams and making life-changing choices. Yet, there's a subtler, equally vital aspect of freedom that might just be the secret ingredient to happiness: leisure time. It's the unsung hero in our quest for contentment, a treasure that, once embraced, can significantly enhance our well-being. Denmark, known for its fairy tale landscapes and hygge culture, also leads the charge in championing work-life harmony, setting a global benchmark for leisure's role in cultivating happiness. In comparison to their counterparts in the United States and the United Kingdom, where the workday typically stretches until 5 p.m. or beyond, Danes enjoy a more relaxed schedule, clocking in around 300 fewer hours at work each year. This difference underscores a societal commitment to valuing free time, with profound implications for happiness. New parents, in particular, feel the squeeze on their free time, a precious commodity in the early stages of parenthood. Recognizing this, Denmark offers an impressive 52 weeks of paid parental leave to be shared between parents, providing crucial breathing space during this transformative period. However, parental leave alone doesn't bridge the so-called parental happiness gap, where new parents often find themselves less joyous than their child-free peers. Enter Portugal, home to the world's happiest parents, where 72% credit the invaluable support of grandparents in child-rearing as a cornerstone of their well-being. This support network not only alleviates the pressures of parenting, but also enriches the lives of grandparents, creating a harmonious intergenerational ecosystem. Denmark has woven this insight into the fabric of its society through the innovative Bonus Grandparents program. This initiative pairs families lacking in grandparental support with eager senior citizens, fostering mutual benefits. Parents enjoy much-needed downtime, while seniors engage in fulfilling roles within their communities. The conversation around work, leisure, and happiness wouldn't be complete without considering the plight of the self-employed. Despite working longer hours for potentially less financial stability, many freelancers report higher levels of job and life satisfaction. This paradox highlights the value of autonomy, the freedom to chase passions, select clients, and tailor working hours to personal preferences. So, what's the takeaway? Happiness may well lie in the balance and the bounty of our free time. Whether it's Denmark's work-life harmony Portugal's grandparental support systems, or the autonomy cherished by freelancers. The path to contentment is paved with leisure and the liberty to savor it. Part 5. The Foundations of a Happier Society: Trust and Empathy. Imagine losing a wallet brimming with cash on a bustling city street. Do you believe it would be returned intact by a passerby? In Toronto, the Canadian General Social Society found that less than a quarter of locals thought so. Yet, remarkably, when 20 wallets were intentionally lost as part of an experiment, 80% were returned with all the money still inside. This disconnect highlights a widespread underestimation of trust within our communities, an essential element that, when abundant, significantly elevates societal happiness. Explore further the notion of trust within professional settings, such as the case with Copenhagen's social care workers. Initially burdened by excessive micromanagement, their duties were strictly timed, undermining trust in their professional judgment and restricting their ability to cater to the elderly's varying needs effectively. A transformative approach in 2011 shifted this dynamics. Workers were only required to log their arrival and departure times from a client's home, granting them autonomy over task allocation. The result? A monumental success, marked by unchanged costs, but a dramatic rise in job satisfaction. This trust reform eventually rippled throughout Copenhagen's public sector, heralding a new era of confidence in employee competence and integrity. To foster a more trusting society, empathy emerges as a cornerstone practice. A 2015 study published in the American Journal of Public Health illustrates empathy's profound impact. Empathetic preschoolers were more likely to excel academically and professionally later in life. They also showed superior mental health and lower tendencies towards crime and substance misuse. Recognizing these benefits, Denmark's educational system zealously cultivates social and emotional skills from a young age. Through activities like interpreting facial expressions and discussing the emotions behind them, students learn to understand and share the feelings of others. Moreover, the New School for Social Research in New York supports the enhancement of emotional sensitivity through communal story reading, a practice notably prevalent in Scandinavian classrooms. This empathy-building activity not only enriches emotional intelligence, but also contributes to the remarkably low incidence of bullying in these countries. These insights reveal that trust and empathy are not just moral ideals, but practical pillars of a happier, more harmonious society. By integrating these values into our daily lives, from education to professional settings, we can construct a more contented and compassionate world for ourselves and future generations. Part 6. How inequality erodes our collective happiness. Ponder on this. Do you trust most people? It seems that those answering affirmatively often hail from corners of the world where economic disparity is less pronounced. The reasoning? In societies that champion equality, individuals tend to feel a stronger sense of security and camaraderie, viewing their neighbors as allies rather than rivals in life's endless rat race. This correlation between economic equality and trust is telling, especially as we witness the opposite trend unfolding in places like the United States and the United Kingdom. Here, the gap between the haves and have-nots widens, and concurrently, the threads of trust that bind society start to fray. The implications of growing inequality are profound and multifaceted. Studies conducted by the University of Nottingham and the University of York underscore this, revealing that stark economic divides breed not merely distrust, but also diminish empathy, health, and safety. They fuel a rise in violence, crime, obesity, and teen pregnancies, painting a grim picture of the societal costs of disparity. The roots of our aversion to inequality run deep, extending beyond human society to our primate relatives. Primatologist Franz de Waal illustrates this through an experiment with capuchin monkeys. In this study, monkeys were rewarded with cucumbers for handing over a stone, a fair trade, until one monkey received a grape, a more coveted reward, for the same task. The resultant outrage among the other monkeys, who refused their cucumber payments in protest, underscores a primal disdain for unfair treatment. This intrinsic distaste for inequality manifests in humans as well, often in extreme environments like air travel. Studies by Catherine DeSell of Harvard Business School and Michael Norton of the University of Toronto pinpoint the catalyst of air rage to feelings of injustice, massively amplified by the mere existence of a first-class section. The resentment is so pronounced that the likelihood of disruption skyrockets, quadrupling to be precise, dwarfing even the aggravation caused by a 9-hour flight delay. Moreover, the arrangement of airplane cabins, requiring economy passengers to traverse through the opulent first-class section, serves to further fuel this resentment, doubling the already heightened risk of air rage incidents. This body of evidence converges on a singular truth. Inequality, whether in economic terms or perceived social standing, acts as a profound antagonist to collective happiness. It challenges us to reflect on the kind of society we aspire to cultivate, one marred by division and discontent, or one rooted in the principles of equity and trust. Part 7. Discover the joy of giving. How acts of kindness enrich our lives. Have you ever experienced that heartwarming sensation after performing an act of kindness, known affectionately as the helper's high? This delightful feeling isn't just a fleeting emotion, but can be a regular highlight in our lives, enriching us in more ways than one. When we indulge in acts of generosity or kindness, our brain's nucleus accumbens, the same region stimulated by life's other pleasures, such as food and intimacy, springs to life. Researchers at the National Institute of Health discovered that even the mere thought of donating to a worthy cause activates this brain area, mirroring the excitement of anticipating a delectable meal or romantic encounter. It seems our evolutionary journey has primed us to find joy in cooperation and altruism, vital traits for the survival and flourishing of human communities. However, volunteering and charitable deeds aren't just self-sacrificing endeavors. They're inherently rewarding too. Studies consistently reveal a stronger sense of happiness among those who give their time and energy to help others, transcending other factors that typically influence well-being. One might argue that happier individuals are naturally more inclined to volunteer, yet engaging in volunteer work often exposes people to those in greater need, fostering a deep sense of gratitude and perspective on one's own fortunes. Moreover, volunteers frequently enjoy richer social networks compared to those who abstain from such involvement. This ethos of giving back is vividly embodied in Denmark, where a staggering 70% have volunteered within the last 5 years, according to the Danish Institute for Voluntary Effort. Yet, despite these compelling benefits, volunteerism remains an underexplored avenue for many. Jill Loga from the Norwegian Institute for Social Research suggests that greater emphasis on the personal gains from charity work, including enriched social connections and the inherent joy of helping others, could boost participation rates. For those inspired to embark on this journey of kindness, resources abound. Ractivists, champions of random acts of kindness, extend their goodwill through initiatives detailed on randomactsofkindness.org.bmyeyes, a visionary app, pairs sighted volunteers with visually impaired individuals in need of assistance, enhancing mutual understanding and support. Additionally, countless organizations within local communities eagerly welcome new volunteers passionate about making a difference in areas close to their hearts. In the tapestry of life, engaging in acts of kindness not only weaves threads of joy and fulfillment into our own lives, but also contributes to a fabric of compassion and community that uplifts us all. Final summary. The pursuit of happiness is a universal quest, and while it might appear that Scandinavians hold the key to this elusive treasure, the truth is that happiness is accessible to all. The secret lies in fostering communities grounded in trust, health, equity, and generosity. By embracing these pillars and actively working towards their realization in our own lives and neighborhoods, we can all partake in the joys of a contented life. The path to happiness, as illuminated by the Scandinavian example, encourages us to cultivate a society where people support one another, cherish good health, strive for equality, and celebrate acts of kindness. In doing so, the benefits of a happier life become a shared and attainable reality for everyone. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.